22, there beginning around verse 12. If you'd like to turn in there, it'll go on good with the song we just sang. As you notice up on the board, of course, tonight we'll start with the dog. And supposedly, the dog is man's best friend. And I know a lot of us here have dogs. And I think right now, I think I got about 7 myself. And I know my daughter's got at least 2. And we used to, and some people, when I was younger, we had some dogs in the house. But most of the time, all of our dogs stayed outside. And but the German Shepherd, as you see here, is one of the most popular breeds. And we'll get into different breeds and stuff like that. And they're recognized by the United Kennel Club. They're recognized by the American Kennel Club. And there's a big thing about the United Kennel Club and American Kennel Club that we'll learn later. The United Kennel Club, they'll allow dogs in there that's really not purebred. The AKC, though, unless they've changed, and I'm not 100% on this yet, but used to, any dog that was crossbred, AKC would not recognize that dog. They would have to be a purebred dog for AKC to recognize it. And what I'm getting at is like a crossbred dog, you might think of old Shep over here is a shepherd, and he crosses Molly over here, which is a beagle, so they'd be crossbred. But now, people have got I'm not going to say they're puppy mills. A lot of people call them that, you know, animal activists or something like that. They call them a puppy mill where they get in there and they'll raise these certain breeds of pups just for, that's the only thing they're in it for, is to sell the pups. That's all they care about is their money. But anyway, that you can just about, I'll take for example, a number 2 dog that I had down later was the poodle. Now, why would somebody want a poodle? I wouldn't necessarily want a poodle myself. Used to, you would see them on shows and people have jewelry on, or they'd be like, you know, luxury type dog or something like that. And but anyway, they'll take these poodles. And the thing about the poodles, when they're pups, they go after that look of that puppy. That puppy is what sells them, because their hair. And they can cross them with a golden retriever. They can cross them with a lab. They'll call them like labradoodles, golden doodles. And they mix other dogs as well. But nothing's took off as much as those mixed with the poodle. And, of course, you can still buy German Shepherds and Pits and, just about any other dog you want. But like I said, when you get into a crossbred dog, I don't think AKC recognizes them as a purebred. Now, I know UKC, I know, does, because they've got a section on crossbred hounds. But I think we might have either had some German Shepherds growing up. Maybe my dad really didn't care for them much. You know, there's different groups of dogs. There's a sporting good, sporting dogs. There's a working dog. They'd be more in the working section. There's a toy bunch of dogs that, like the Chihuahuas or the toy poodles or just different ones. And but these German Shepherds, they've been around for a long time, and that's just one of the ones that Steve picked out. And we'll go through a list of some other ones, maybe not tonight, but sometime soon. Has anyone here ever had a German Shepherd? And a German Shepherd's a sort of like a dog. I'll tell you, for example, it wasn't a German Shepherd, but I was coming back from work one day and I seen this pasture field over here, and it had a creek running through it. There were some turkeys back there in it. And I said, I just wonder if that guy let me turkey. And I said, I might just pull in here. So I sort of slowed down, and there's a lot of semi-trailers around there. And on the front porch, there was a big pit bull that had been wearing out. So I just kept on easing on down the road, because I'll tell you what, if somebody's got a sign up on a dog, you better watch him. There's a little dog now across from where my daughter lives. This little old bitty, like a Dachshund or something like that. And if he come out there, and there's a little kid coming down there on the scooter, and he come out and got after a little kid. That little boy got to crying and stuff. His mother run up there. The owners really didn't go after him. You know, as hard as you think they would have. You know, we used to around Franklin, you would see a lot of dogs out. But now, you don't see as many stray dogs running around like it used to be around here. But we'll get more into the dogs later on. There, I told you, we're going to begin tonight there in Revelation 22 and verse 12. And it says, and behold, we're going to hit a lot of verses that talks about dogs in them. And as I go through them, anything that y'all would like to add in tonight on a verse that might have something about a dog that y'all like to add in, just go ahead and add it in before we go on to the next verse or something. There in Revelation 22, verse 12, it says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and adulterers and whoever loves and practices a lie. We see, in this world we live in, there are many, many people that live in this world. You can't hardly turn the TV on unless it's a shooting somewhere, or whether it's something to do with a policeman, something to do with a kid at school, or some other thing that's going on. And I believe this was like 2 years ago. In our prisons today, there's 132,000 drug-related convictions. People that are in prison because of drugs. 132,000. 656,000 are violent-related. So they committed some kind of act, either with a gun, assault, or something's going on. A murder, maybe. There's 36,000 youth in prison today, or when this survey, like I said, it'll be a couple of years old. 36,000 youth now has committed crimes. And they've also got like 34,000 immigrants that are in detention, where they've been trying to come across the border, or they're here illegally and they're trying to wait and send them back. But you see, you know, this world we live in is made up of very mean people, and we got to do our best. If we're going to get to heaven, we got to do our best to not put ourselves in some kind of predicament that your life may change in just an instant. Over, it says, what is it? Be slow to speak, slow to anger, and slow to wrath.
Swift to hear.
Swift to hear, slow to wrath. And we need to listen more and think before we speak. And listen to what's going on. And if we do that, then our anger problem can be solved, you know, for the most part. It says there in Revelation 22, verse 12, it says, I am coming quickly. Notice he doesn't say, I might come, or if things work out, I'll come. But he says, I'm coming quickly. And we know God is not very distant from us. He's always near. If we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. Whether we're at work or here or driving down the highway or at home, he's always there. And we know that it will be a blessing to see him. And but sometimes it seems like we need to have more patience in life. There in Psalms 37, especially talking about the Lord. Psalms 37 there in verse, I believe it's 34. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and then he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. So the wicked are going to be cut off in the end. And like we talked about there, over in, also goes along with Revelation 22, 12 and 15, there in 1 Corinthians 6. Says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But it goes on to say, and there in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. You hear many times, especially in the church, like I was talking about the guy that Brent Mulhare. Well, Brent Mulhare himself told us that he used to be a gang member, I believe, in L.A. or run around with the gang some out there. And then he became a preacher. The guy that he's talking about that we could get for a meeting, the one that was addicted to all kinds of drugs, he left all of that and began doing God's work as well. And it says here, there in verse 11, and such were some of you. So see, it doesn't matter how far away you are from God, you can always, He'll always accept you back. Now, sure, if you're in prison or something like that, there's laws against maybe what you've done, and you're going to have to pay for that. Like we was in class one night, and I said, well, which one's worse? You know, stealing a piece of candy or stealing $5 or $10? And the kid said, well, it'd probably be the $10. I said, well, it doesn't matter to God, because it's both stealing in God's eyes. And just that one would have a more significant penalty through the government than the other one.
You know, sin imprisons us. You know, Jesus talks about being set free from sin, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's almost like a slavery or a bondage or a prison, like you said, and there's some that will escape it through belief and baptism into Christ and being faithful unto death. And then there are some that will reject the gospel call, and that's what Revelation 22:15 is talking about. These that are outside are dogs. You know, they chose to stay in the immoral life and the filth of life. You know, these were not literal dogs. These were humans he was talking about and the lifestyles that they had chose. I was thinking of Matthew 25, where he talked about how the son will return and divide the sheep from the goat, and the sheep will be on his right hand, and the goat will be on the goats will be on his left hand. And so what are the dogs? Are the goats, and the goats are the dogs. It's just he's using these animals as figures of speech to describe those that are lost, or even those that are saved. You know, Jesus was referred to as the lion from the tribe of Judah. We studied that just recently. And then the verse says that John turned around, and behold, he saw a lamb that looked slain. So he was the lion lamb. And it's not an accident that the Lord said that those on his right hand were the sheep. You know, these are the ones that he is identifies with and is going to save. And these are some of the images he gives of the different groups saved and lost.
Abomination to the Lord God. So, was referring to people that would practice sodomy and homosexuality in ritual temple worship. But still, it was considered, the person was considered immoral. So it's not talking about the dog itself, it's talking about the immoral person.
The liar.
And many times, we'll read in Kings against Baasha and against Jezebel, how they were killed and eaten by dogs. Because there were a lot of stray animals around there in that area that would eat whatever they could find. So in that sense, the dog was considered an unclean animal. In the sense that it's really, even today, there's a lot of diseases that a dog can give a human. I was just looking quickly there. I just saw quickly it's about 7 that can be transmitted to a human. Can you imagine in those days when they didn't have veterinarians? They would have a lot of dogs that would be considered unclean. And to the Jew, he was a very clean person. And everything he did, even the food that he had to eat, was considered to be very clean. That was God's protection on his people. So even though today dogs is different, but in those days it's considered like a scavenger.
Yes, ma'am.
You can correct what she's saying, Philippians 3:22, that says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evil workers, look out for those who mutilate your flesh. Same things. We let the dogs allow us because it's not, as you put it, a little pee-pee on your lap, it's not always the same.
Yeah, I think y'all touched on a lot of what I was looking at.
It's such an emotional connection that people have with their pet dog that it's to the extent of a lot of people in this world that when the animal passes away, they want to really believe that, oh, well, such and such has gone now to a better place, gone to heaven. So we even got movies called All Dogs Go to Heaven. But the irony is that when you look at Scripture, like you have Revelation outside our dogs. It's like the Bible does not portray the pet aspect like it's so popular today. We see more of the street version of the dog or the vicious animal that's going to tear into one.
Somebody else? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's a
mud.
That's right, using the dog as that illustration of it being filthy. It makes me think of the verse that God gives us where he talks about a dog will go back to its vomit.
Yes, ma'am.
And it'll go back and eat it, and we do that with sin. So he's comparing us to that in the sense it's foul, it's disgusting, but yet you want more.
Yeah, I've seen that as many dogs as I've seen them do that a lot of times. And it don't bother them, right? But they will. They will return to their mom. Is there any more comments?
Isn't the most kind remark about a dog where the mother went to Jesus and asked for a healed for a daughter, and Jesus made some comment about, like she was a Gentile, and he knew the dog was Jews, and she said yes.
I think I've got that here somewhere. She
that
wanted.
That sounded like a pet to me. With yeah.
Being
in the house eating under the table.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I can't remember the verse right now, but I've got it here somewhere. But eventually we'll get there too.
Jesus was saying it's not right to take what's supposed to be for the children of God to the dogs. Yeah, so it was a bit of a put down in a way, but I think he was testing her faith. And so she fired back.
But he went ahead and healed her daughter too. That would have been, I think it's Matthew 15.
It is.
21 through 28. That's what I got down here. Anybody else? Is there anything else that anybody would like to add in on Revelation? Revelation 22 before we go. All right, next will be Matthew 7, 1 through 6. It says, judge not that ye not be judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me be removed the speck from your eye, and look at the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn and tear you into pieces. Here we see Christ's command not to judge as another challenge for his disciples. He didn't want them to turn out like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The so-called, I guess you could, so-called religious leaders at that time, they wanted to exalt themselves in the eyes of others. And judging others was the way they could lift themselves up. And so we need to be careful in the church that even though we might grow together in knowledge and discipline, that we don't become puffed up. It tells us there, I believe over in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, it tells us, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So we need to make sure that, let's not, if somebody comes up with some conclusion on some verse, and you might not come up with that conclusion. You know, you can always get together. You don't have to have, a disagreement or something like that. You don't have to judge somebody else because they might think something different from what you think. We may offer the gospel to the ones outside the faith. And the reaction we might get might be like a dog, or some kind of wild animal, they might reject it, or like that dog, I was talking about the word dog sound, they'll become hostile towards you, sometimes for no reason at all. But main thing about judging is like the Bible told it. Make sure you take care of yourself first before you think about judging someone else. Make sure you give
it. Yeah. So Jesus isn't saying make no judgments, because obviously for you to determine if someone was a dog, then to not give what is holy to the dogs, that's a judgment. You're making a discernment there. So he's judging essentially hypocritical judgment, where you are practicing sin in your life and then trying to tell someone to not practice sin in theirs, right? So he says, first take that plank out, and then you'll be able to see clearly to do what? Well, to, in essence, pass judgment, right? Or instruction, correction, to the one that has the speck in theirs. I was thinking about this, do not give what is holy to the dogs. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14, when Jesus was sending out the 12, and he was given instructions about what you should do at what places, and if they receive you, if they don't receive you. And he says in Matthew 10:14, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake up the dust from your feet. And so he's saying, in essence, you know, don't dig in your heels and say you're gonna keep hearing these words, right? No, he says you go ahead and move on, you know. And that was in essence saying, don't give it as holy to the dogs. They've already rejected your words, which are essentially my words. So move on.
You know, a lot of times go door knocking, and somebody will say, well, a lot of times I've already got a home church. And, you know, and really all we were doing was inviting them to church. And if it went farther than that, you know, you could have a study with them somehow. But really all you're doing is trying to invite them or put a thought in their head that they might not be serving God right. And maybe a lot of them wouldn't serve God at all in any capacity.
I believe Judy hit on this one over in Philippians 3 and verses 1 through 3. And it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write these same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. It says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Here, there were some troublemaking Jews trying to come in and deceive the Philippians. And here they're compared to the herds of dogs, which would, at that time, like Justin was saying, they prowl, they just go be loose. Which one is that? It's got all the cattle running around. They just let cattle run in it. What country is that? They just let the cattle go in.
Oh, in India?
Yeah. Yeah, that, and it. As I thought about this, I thought about, you know, the dogs just running around, you know, everywhere. And we'll look at this later on, but the dingoes from Australia, they had to put up a large amount of fencing just to keep these dogs from killing all of their sheep. And there's no telling how many miles of fencing. Well, I got it down, but I know it's a large amount just to keep them out, keep those wild dogs out of it. And these were people probably, you know, a dog sometimes, they don't have owners. They was feeding on, at this time, they was probably just feeding, scavenging, like Miss Mott said. They was feeding on just whatever they could find on the streets. They would quarrel among themselves, just like, you know, like we was talking about people that want to have their way in a church discussion about the Bible or something, they'll seem like they want to quarrel more than talk about it. And if you show them something that may show they are guilty, then most of the time it's going to end pretty quickly. The quarreling will. Because they'll see that they may be wrong. And of course, the dogs, they quarrel amongst themselves and any attacking passerby. And so beware of man that quarrel all the time. And Steve talked about it not too long ago. They got this contentious spirit about them. They want to have, just like the Pharisees and all, they want to have that influence on others. They didn't understand, you know, at the time how Jesus could have that much knowledge, you know, more knowledge than they had. But he could always answer them. My next one, of course, would be where it talks about Luke, over in Luke 16. There, 19 through 31. We'll go through this together. There in 19, it says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. So this rich man, he was having a good life. He had just about anything that he wanted. Every day it was good for him. But in verse 20, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. So this man could not even walk. Someone had helped him to the gate of this rich man and just laid him there. It goes on and said he was full of sores, but his desire there in 21 to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The same thing is that Lazarus was wanting was the same thing that these dogs were after. They wanted the crumbs too. It says the dogs came and licked his sores. Miss Mox brought up about some diseases, you know, from the dogs. And of course, nowadays you've got to watch for ticks is a big thing. Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I got that one time. I've never had the Lyme disease from a tick. But those, you got to watch. Always, I don't care if it's out here in the front or in your yard, always make sure you check yourself, you know, for ticks. I believe I broke out in like, it only been in a certain area, and it is like big red webs that come up. I can't remember who the doctor was saw, but who'd you say, who'd you think? But Leanne's going like that. But whoever it was, they said, I think you got Rocky Mountain. I'm pretty sure it's him. But anyway, he gave me this certain medicine. And he said, you start taking this medicine, he said, if it's not gone by Sunday night, you're going to have to go to the hospital. And you know, by Sunday night, that night, I'd go in there and I'd pull my shirt up and look and see if it's there or gone. And you know, Sunday night, they started fading away. And from then on, I'm all off myself, but I've got ticks before, even when you're off yourself down with the spray. But she brought up, you know, I got to thinking about this. You know where it says his sores, and I'm sure at some point they were running, and of course these dogs, being wild, being hungry, they was looking for something to, and these sores, it wouldn't be above them. You know, it said the dogs licked his sores, didn't it? And you know, dogs, when they hurt themselves in some way, I've had a lot of them hurt themselves. What do they do to help people?
They
they lick it. And they can, now I don't know if they were helping him or not. It might not have worked that way, but they was doing, you know, I don't know if it wasn't their sores, but it's somebody else's, but it could have eased the pain of him in some way. And I might be totally, you know, totally off. We'll stop there at verse 21. But this is a good place to stop at. Thank you for your attention tonight and your comments.